This is the Blue Jackets Pipeline Podcast, presented by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers. We are here for you now and better days ahead. Each Tuesday, we check in with a Blue Jackets prospect who hopes to become a regular in the NHL. Let's see who's coming down the pipeline today with your host, Dylan Tyre.
Welcome to the Pipeline Podcast, presented by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers. I'm Dylan Tyre, and today I'm going to be speaking with the Blue Jackets' fifth-round draft pick, 148th overall in the 2017 NHL entry draft, Cale Howarth. Cale's a 22-year-old left winger who attends the University of Connecticut, and prior to this interview, I didn't know a whole lot about him, and I figured you guys probably don't know a whole lot about him either, so that's why he's the perfect subject to interview. And in this interview, we get to talk about a lot. And maybe the most interesting thing that I learned about Cale was that he was a late bloomer in his hockey career. He really grew into his body. He stands now at 6'4", 205 pounds, and he really only grew into it late in his BCHL career before attending UConn. So he's, in a sense, still kind of growing into that body. But that's a big part of this interview. Also talking about growing up in Red Deer, having the influences of the Calgary Flames right there, the Edmonton Oilers, as well as the Red Deer Rebels, a Western Hockey League team there that he grew up really, really close to, even has a couple of relationships with some really good pros who came through there. So that's what we get to in this interview. A little bit more about Cale. As I mentioned, he attends the University of Connecticut, just finished up his second season there with the Huskies. In his freshman year, he had 11 points on 5 goals and 6 assists in 32 games. This past season, 6 goals and 10 assists for 16 points in 29 games. A little bit about him as a player. He's a self-described power forward with some skill. You know the National Hockey League loves players like that, so he wants to continue to develop. And before we get into this interview, just want to remind you guys, like I did last week, right now we have a CBJ Radio podcast survey opened up. I'm going to include the link to that survey in the description of this podcast in the details area. All you got to do is copy and paste that link. On some podcast platforms, all you have to do is simply click that link. It's going to bring you to a survey that takes about a minute and a half to fill out. It'll just help us to get to know you a little bit better, know what you like and dislike about these podcasts. Maybe you want to add some things to these podcasts. All that is available in this survey. Just help us out. Let us know what you want. And that's going to allow us to provide you the absolute best audio experience going forward. So thanks again for filling those out. Again, you can find the link to that survey in the description of this podcast. But before you fill that out, we'll get back to the interview. Here he is, without further ado, University of Connecticut left winger and the Blue Jackets' fifth-round draft pick in 2017, Cale Howarth.
Where I want to get started here, obviously you're Canadian, so very, very easy to get into hockey there. But I want to start at the very beginning of your hockey career. Tell me how you got into the game.
So I actually got into the game because of my dad. You know, I had always been watching him like go to the rink, and he was just playing like beer league at the time. And I guess I'd always been so fascinated with how fast my dad was moving. And you know, I think I was 3 years old when I decided to, you know, really start begging my dad to let me go out and play with him. So it honestly started with his kind of beer league team. I just would get a bunch of gear and I'd put it on and I'd sit on the bench with them. And then him and I would go out after and he'd kind of teach me how to skate. And then, yeah, just when I was 5 years old, I just joined the Red Deer Minor Hockey League. And yeah, just kind of ever since then, my dad's coached me and it's been pretty fun. So
for our fans out there that aren't really familiar with you, you're a bigger guy, you're 6'4" out on the ice. So can you kind of describe what type of player you are?
Yeah. You know, I like to think of myself as kind of a skilled power forward, with like a lot of grit to my game, something that I tried to improve on. You know, like I know scoring goals is everyone's favorite thing to do, but you know, when you start to move up, you're you can't always be a goal scorer. So yeah, I think just going in, using my body and you know, getting on pucks hard, just bringing energy to the team. I think that's something that I bring to the table and that's my role. And that's what I see my role being when I turn pro. So yeah, it's just that's my game. It's nice and simple. Don't try to do too much. Don't be the flashy toe dragger out there, but I mean, if it's there, I trust myself enough to do it. So that's my game.
Has it always been that way for you, or were you a late bloomer when it came to size, or have you always been kind of that grittier power forward type?
No. So when I was in Bantam, so I must have been like 13 or 14. I think I was like 4'11". I was always the smallest guy on my team. I'd always get targeted out there because I was just that small guy. So when I was younger, I had to really rely on my skill, and I had to really train my skill just to be able to compete with those guys. And I really think that's what's kind of helped my game turn into what it is today, because, you know, now I got the size to back it up, and then, you know, I have a little bit of that skill too that I use. So yeah, I think it's just a good healthy mix of both. So I really like it.
So when did you grow?
I think I grew when I was 16 years old. I just was going into my second year midget, and I had gotten cut from the AAA team. So I played midget AA my second year, and then I really started to sprout up. And then my 17-year-old year, I played midget AAA, and I don't know, I couldn't really like figure out my body at that time, and I just struggled until I left and went to juniors. But yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm just a late bloomer, late grower. So
how long did it take you to kind of figure out your new body? You said you only really did figure it out in junior, and that's around the time you got drafted. So I'd imagine it happened pretty quick for you. Is that the case?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, like midget was just what seemed like kind of a write-off year. When I look back at it, it's, I don't know. I kind of like it. I think it let me like learn a lot about myself as a player, and like how I grow as a player. So yeah, I don't know. I think I spent that whole midget AAA year growing as a player, and like growing into my body. So yeah. And then a little bit of my first part of junior as well. But I also think that part was the transition of leagues and the bigger boys. So
the Blue Jackets picked you after your second season in the BCHL, right?
Right.
So did you have any idea that you were going to be drafted at that point? And did you have any clue that it was indeed going to be by the Blue Jackets?
So yes, I did know that I was going to get drafted. I mean, on that day, you never actually really know, but I had a really good idea that I was going to get drafted, but I never really thought it was going to be going to Columbus. I never really interviewed with them at the combine. And then I really only had, I think, one phone interview with them, and what I thought was one of my worst interviews. But yeah, no, things just kind of, they just played out the right way. And yeah, I honestly couldn't be happier with being picked by Columbus. It's been pretty life-changing for sure.
So with all that in mind, the minute that you found out it was the Blue Jackets, what was your emotion? Were you just shocked?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was pretty shocked as soon as I see my name get picked. But you know, luckily my centerman who I played that whole year with, he kind of let me hit my drive down the middle, and then he broke the news to me. So I got it was pretty nice. Like I found out like on the golf course with those guys, and so yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's pretty cool. At least you were relaxed out there while the draft was going on. You were kind of spent it in a nice leisurely way. What was the communication with the Blue Jackets afterward? Did you find out why they liked you and, you know, why they ended up picking you?
Yeah, it was all kind of when I went to camp, and then, you know, everything happened so quickly, you know, like I got told on the golf course that I got to come immediately. So I was away from home, so I had to just kind of get all my stuff, get there as quickly as I could, and there's not a lot of time, so then we can't really like have our meetings and talk and meet everyone. And then so finally at the end of development camp, I finally got to sit down with you know, a lot of the staff members, and we just kind of talked about my game and the reason why they picked me and all that stuff. And you know, it's really nice when, you know, you can tell that they're like genuinely happy that you're with their organization, and you know, the player's genuinely happy being there. Like me being a player who, you know, like a year ago, if you told me I was going to get drafted, I would have laughed in your face. Like, so I was just like full of excitement, and like, I'm just like on cloud nine being there. Like, there's guys who are at camp who, years prior to that, I was shoveling the Memorial Cup ice for them, you know, at a development camp with them. So pretty cool. I'm pretty excited. So
backtracking a little bit further, when did you kind of know that you were good enough to take it to the pro game? Like, when did you think you had the opportunity to be drafted and potentially be an NHL player in the future? Like you said, you were real small, then you hit your growth spurt, you kind of figured your game out. But I feel like, you know, every guy that I've asked kind of has that year where they really did figure it out and they're like, yeah, I might have a chance to be a pretty good player.
When I, like, as a kid, all my life, all I've wanted to do is play hockey, and I've never really thought of anything else. Like, I never really wanted to go to school, or I just wanted to play hockey. And I always believed in myself that I could play in the NHL, and I never really, like, thought about what if I didn't. But then, like, my moment of kind of realization that it could, like, that I have the potential to do something is my second year in trail. I'd met a guy after a game, and we were just kind of talking, and he was just like, he would just tell me like how I had so much pro potential, and you know, he was just giving me a little advice on how to like use my body better to, you know, shield pucks. And he was just like, you got a pro frame, you're a pro skater. Like, if you have all the right tools, if you just kind of put it all together, and, you know, if you stay on the right track that you're on, like, especially going NCAA, like, there's no way that I can't play pro hockey. And at that time, my main goal is just to kind of get a scholarship. Like, I was in a place where the first team that was offering me that was the offer I was going to take. I was never really sure. At that moment, I wasn't too sure if pro was maybe gonna fully pan out for me. And then I just kind of kept riding the season I was on. Went to Team Canada West tryouts. Unfortunately, didn't make the team. And then got a nice break and went to the prospects game. And I think that prospects game was really the turning point in my career. I had a really good game. There was a lot of really great players in that game, and to just kind of stand out in a game like that, I was just like, I think I have what it takes. If I can raise my level in games like this, I mean, it's smooth sailing from there as soon as you get into those games.
So going the NCAA route, how did you decide on UConn? Were they the first team that offered you, and like you said, you went that way, or were there a couple of teams and you were finally able to decide on UConn?
So I was originally committed to Northern Michigan up in Marquette, but coaching changes kind of happened, and you know, I'd bid on my first offer originally, and season went on, and I was talking more with my family and what was in the best interest for me, and we decided that I was going to take other visits at the end of my season, and then just kind of see where I think I fit best. And I was going to go to a couple schools, but it was like 2 days after our season ended, UConn really wanted me to fly out, so that was the only school that I went down to visit at the time. And I was going to, you know, kind of take my time and wait. And just the moment I kind of stepped on campus and, you know, meeting some of the guys who are going to be my future teammates, the coaching staff, the rink that we play out of in Hartford, it's just like, it was so, and it was so amazing that I couldn't say no. And it gave me, I knew I was going to have a lot of opportunity because we were a younger team. So, I honestly couldn't be happier going to UConn. We got such a great campus, great coaching staff. The boys are unbelievable. Like, I honestly couldn't ask for any more.
So you're from Red Deer, Alberta, which is about halfway between Calgary and Edmonton. So what's it like to go to school so far from home? I'm from California and went to Ohio State. So, I mean, that's pretty far, halfway across the country, but it might be even further for you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird when you think about it. But, I mean, when I was playing, I think when I was playing juniors and trail, it was more weird because it was my first time kind of moving away. And it's about a 10-hour drive from here. So, I don't really think it's too weird anymore going to school out there because, you know, all my friends are kind of gone in the winter anyways, going to school, playing hockey, and then just the only tough part about going to American schooling is that we finish so much later. So all my friends are, when they're off and done school, I'm still grinding away, and they're out having fun. So, but no, I kind of enjoy it. It makes you excited to want to come home in the summer. And that's kind of the, what I like the most. I don't want to just kind of be stuck in one place the whole time. So.
All right. So like I said, you're from Red Deer, about halfway between Edmonton and Calgary. So were you a Flames or an Oilers fan growing up?
I switched halfway through.
That's not allowed, is it?
I don't know. You might have to pull up the rule book, but I used to just love the old Flames logo. I used to have this one jersey as a kid. I think it was like the dragon face, and it was like had the fire breathing out of his mouth. And I just loved that jersey, and I loved Jerome Iginla, and I loved everything about the Flames. And then, you know, kind of the older I got, the more and more I started to like, you know, the younger teams and the younger players coming in. So like when Hall and Eberle, Nuge, like those guys started coming in, I kind of switched my team to the Oilers. And, you know, it's ever since I became an Oilers fan, it's been, I mean, it was a rough couple. It's been a rough couple of years for us, but I don't know. I still cheer for Edmonton, and I cheer for Calgary too. Like, I just, at this point, I'm not really fascinated about the individual like young players. I just love seeing how like a team like Calgary can, I don't know, I love their style of play. Like, they're just so gritty and they're so hard to play. I like watching that too. So
you also grew up with the Red Deer Rebels, a real good WHL team right there in town. They've had a lot of good guys come through there, you know, ever since you were a little kid until now. Colin Fraser, Dion Phaneuf, Chris Versteeg, you mentioned him. Ryan Nugent Hopkins was there. Matt Dumble was there. Really good goalies, James Reimer, Cam Ward, Darcy Kemper. All those guys played there. So did you look up to those guys and that team kind of equally as much as the two NHL teams near you?
Yeah, I would say that. I think I loved the Red Deer Rebels the most growing up because when I was younger, there was a guy moving in across the street, and I guess I was like 6 or 7, and I ran over and I started helping him, and his name was Dermot Kelly. And I found out that he was like a Red Deer Rebel, and kind of ever since that, him and my dad, like, they would hang out, and then I'd see him, he'd give me sticks, he'd bring me to the locker room. And so I don't know, I think out of all of the unbelievable players that have went through, I think my favorite player has been Dermot Kelly. And then I'd have to say my second favorite is Matt Dumba. He would actually come over to my house quite a bit when he was playing. He was going out with one of my sister's friends at the time. So, yeah, he'd always be coming over, and he was such a good guy, and he was easy to talk to, and it was kind of when hockey wasn't the easiest for me, and he would kind of help me and give me advice. So, yeah, I really like those two players. Those are good Red Deer Rebels to me.
How unique is it to grow up in a town like that? Because here in the United States, the closest thing that we probably have to something like that is, you know, your local college team or maybe a minor league team. But even then, it's not like they're 16-year-old kids who are, you know, coming over to your house and hanging out with your siblings. So, I mean, just how cool is that? How unique is that? And like you said, you were able to just develop some really good relationships with these guys, and they were able to help you out. So how much has that helped you to this point in your career?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome because living in a place like Red Deer, the Red Deer Rebels, those guys are like treated like celebrities, and to just, you know, kind of see them as celebrities, and then they're just these regular guys who they're so easy to talk to, and you know, they're not just all like about hockey. They're all about like people. And I don't know, it's just like super eye opening to see how some of these guys carry themselves. And I certainly know that the way that like some guys carry themselves playing with the Rebels, or that's how I want to carry myself. It's just a professional at all times. And I know Brent Sutter does a really good job of, you know, making sure that his players are, you know, nice and respectful around the community. And from what I've seen, that he does a really good job of it. I think that the Red Deer Rebels do an excellent job with, you know, like helping out like the younger community. My mom used to do bullying presentations at schools, and she'd bring in the Red Deer Rebels because, you know, and that would just be eye-opening to me. It's just like they're more than just hockey players. They're people trying to, you know, make the community a better place. So
that sounds great. I mean, just to have that in a community, like that's something that I wish that, you know, I would have had growing up in the United States, because that is so unique to me. Because like you said, you know, you hear all these stories about OHL players, players in the queue, WHL players. They are like local celebrities. And some of those guys, you know, grow up to be the stars in the National Hockey League. And that's such a special time where you kind of get to know them when they're young and unassuming like you. And then they become these kind of godlike figures that you feel like you can't approach, but you kind of get in on the base level there. So it's a really unique experience. And I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that you kind of take for granted. Sometimes you don't really realize how special it really is, and how lucky you are to have a team like this in your own town. Like, it's a five minute drive for me to go and watch their games. So that's, yeah, it's unbelievable.
So a little bit more about you now off the ice. What are some of the things that you like to do outside of hockey? Are you a TV guy, a movie guy, a music guy? Are you an outdoorsman? I'd imagine that's something a lot of people like to do up there in Alberta, but what are you into?
So I actually grew up on a farm. So I really love to, you know, like dirt bike, quad, you know, side by side. Unfortunately, this year we had sold all ours. So I'm out of luck and can't do that right now. But, I'm huge into golf. My dad, he got me going on golf at a young age, and you know, now it's just the time where all my buddies are starting to get into it. They're kind of done hockey and they need another hobby. So I got the boys going on golf. We all got memberships this year to Wolf Creek this summer. And I mean, it's fun. So kind of outdoorsman. I love golf. Just hanging out with my buddies. We go camping quite like sometimes. Yeah, I don't know. Just kind of anything that you can do outdoors is so fun. I got two dogs that they're almost two and almost one, so they keep me on my toes a lot. I'm constantly kind of chasing them around. I don't know, kind of low key, not nothing too flashy for me. I just like to, you know, train, keep it low key in the summers and in the off season.
Obviously things are a little bit up in the air right now when it comes to next season, but have you started training yet? Or are you taking some time off right now? And what are your plans going forward for the rest of the summer going into your next season?
Yeah. So our gyms and rinks still aren't open yet. So I've been doing a lot of bodyweight stuff. I kind of took a little break just to, you know, fully rehab my body, make sure I'm fully ready to go and train to my highest potential. And then it was pretty crazy. Last week, one of my family friends kind of, they said that they have a home gym, like in a shop behind their house. And you know what, they're nice enough, and I'm lucky enough that they let me use it, and it's got everything I need. So, yeah, I'm just going to be doing that hopefully until the local gym opens up, because it's about a 25, 30-minute drive for me to get to this gym, and it's kind of out of the way. So, yeah, and I'm supposed to start back skating on June 1st in Edmonton, but I'm not too sure when the ice is going in. So yeah, it's just right now I'm pretty uncertain of how it's all going to play out. I'm usually in Yukon for the summer. I'm only home for the month of June really. But I guess this summer we're not allowed back, so it's going to be a lot of at home training.
Last thing I'll ask you here, if there was one area you could pinpoint in your game that you want to work on this summer and work on going into next season that you want to see improve the most, what would it be?
Definitely my wall play and like my play down low in the corners. You know, I talk with the development coaches with Columbus, and we talk about, since I'm such a big guy, I need to really focus on my legs and focus on power and strength and my core, so I'm not getting pushed off pucks, because you know that's my game. And if I'm going into battles that are 50-50s and I'm only coming out with it, you know, even like 65% of the time, like that's not going to cut it at the next level. And that's really what I need to turn my game into, is, you know, winning those 50-50 battles 100% of the time. So yeah, that's just one thing that I think I really want to focus on this year. And then I've been doing a lot of video on just like routes, and I don't know, it's kind of complicated, just like corner stuff, seeing which way a guy's stick is turned, and you know, cutting back into that way, just picking up on those things. Those are things that I really want to focus on this summer, and it's definitely a point of emphasis for me.
Well, Kiel, that's all I got for you, man. I really appreciate you joining me. I know our fans are really going to enjoy getting to know you. You're one of those guys we didn't know a whole lot about, so I hope this helps them to get to know you a lot better. I'm sure it will, and thanks for being here with me, and good luck going into next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, though.
So again, much thanks to Cale Howarth, the Blue Jackets' fifth round pick in 2017, for joining me on this week's edition of the Pipeline Podcast. Great to get to know him a little bit more, a guy that I knew nothing about going into this interview, but now, like you, I feel like I know a lot more about him. He's a good guy off the ice, and a guy that I'm excited to see on the ice whenever we're allowed to get back. And before I bid you adieu this week, just want to remind you one more time to fill out that CBJ Radio podcast survey. You can find the link to it in the description of this podcast. We really, really appreciate if you fill that out. It's got questions about this podcast, CBJ and 30, The Inside Edge, Timeout with Torts. So all your Blue Jackets podcasts right there. Tell us what you think about them. We'll really, really appreciate it. One more time, I want to thank Cale Howarth for joining me this week. And as always, thank you for joining me on this week's edition of the Pipeline Podcast, presented by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.